Jack Laverty.
Not Laverty, I'm Coven.
Yeah.
Need some more chocolate to soothe my throat.
What? You need a what?
More chocolate to soothe my throat.
Oh, what an excuse.
Works for me.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All of a sudden, everybody has a problem with their throat. See how the bad influence just travels around? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we said this before. We cannot wait to see you. Someday we will dance on the street as gold. All the glorious shine from the jewels around the Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, cannot be compared with your glory, because you are glorious King. The Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Now we have a Bible open, our hearts open to receive your word, knowing that you speak to us. Let them who have ears, let them hear what the Lord God says. Please forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, especially the one who speaks. His sins are many. As I was preparing this for tonight's teaching, I thought maybe I'm giving shortchange to our people. Then I realized when I'm weak, you are strong. As I have to do every time, I have to rely on you. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us. And you open our heart to receive. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9 of chapter 1, James. Let lowly brothers glory in his exaltation. Now, when some of you guys know that I'm used to use an NIV, and I looked at five different versions: New King James, New International Version (NIV), New American Standard Version (updated), New Living Translation, and King James Version. They all said three of them: New American, King James, New King James. They all said lowly. New Living Translation and NIV both said poor instead of lowly, which, in my opinion, good translation too. Let the lowly brother is not necessarily in position, also in financial status. Lowly brothers who glory in exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field, he will pass away. All of a sudden, we are turning the study direction from wisdom and the perseverance, building the character, that kind of thing, to money issues. Why are you going with this, God? However, the Bible does not waste any words. In our thought, yeah, it's just, isn't it a repeat of the, like a first king, second king is pretty much a repeat of first, second Samuel and first Chronicle. So why are you doing this? Why are you repeating? And how about the four gospels? Do you have to repeat the same thing over and over, God? Yeah, because we have a hard head, number one. Number two is coming from the different angles, so we can understand the entire view of it. And I was thinking, I think the Bible can sum it up. Love God, don't serve other gods. You will go through trouble, trust me. Don't you think pretty much you can sum it up in that direction? Because we tend to love other gods, whether it's a false god or the things we have, like computers or train. No one particularly in mind. And I know he's going to chew the lemon someday because of that.
Was that someday or Sunday?
I might chew it back. And then we tend to get involved with something else that we wrap ourselves with anything other than God. So he had to repeat time after time. Let's not think that Israel is an idiot and then they are the lowest humankind because they didn't follow God. Do we? Do we always follow God? Do we always do the things that God tells us to do? Give a break. The Israeli people, majority of people didn't know how to read. The priest had to teach them what the law of God says. Now we can read. In the case, we have more than one version of the Bible. And if I'm not mistaken, we have at least two or more Bible at our home, readily available. So we have really no excuse. We have less excuse than Israeli people. Why is it that God is all of a sudden talking about those who are poor should be in glory and that they have less? Because when we are in the tight corner, we tend to trust God more than ever before. I said this before, I'm going to probably repeat the same thing over and over again throughout our study. If we have a lot of money at our disposal, I'm talking about millions of dollars. Let's just be silly, and let's say we have $50 million. Really? Cash.
Really?
Really? Hey, Betty!
What is that, a chocolate?
You, okay.
Yeah, you can buy the mountain of chocolate with that $50 million. Now, as gentleman as he is, let's say he found somebody who is really in need, like a Jack who needs a train. So he can just write a check to Jack so he can go buy a choo-choo train. Is that something what the God has in mind? Or is that what Carl has in mind? I'm talking about really, there is somebody who is really in desperate needs and somebody is dying or need a hospital bill to be paid. In our good intention, we might help somebody who needs to be in training through the difficulties. We all learn that through the difficulties, we learn to be like Christ. Not in good time, because we tend to depend on our own strengths. So during the time of difficulty, we learn to trust Him solely. And that's why we heard the word foxhole mentality. Then the time when the bullet flies over our head and the things that are so bleak that we're pretty much going to face death in a matter of a few minutes or seconds, Corvette doesn't mean anything. Bank account doesn't mean anything. And nothing matters except now what? After death. It becomes really simple. Am I right with God? That's why whenever this kind of incident, 9/11, or even during the Desert Storm time, church was busting out of sin. When that memory is kind of going away, as they faded from the front of their memory to the back somewhere, all of a sudden we forget God. So are we different than Israeli people? No. Let's go back to the verse 10. But the rich in humiliation, because of the flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat than it withers the grass and its flower falls. Its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. Paul Getty, used to be one of the richest men, because he's oil monarch. He had so much money, he didn't know what to do with that thing. One of his children, I believe it's his son, was kidnapped. Am I correct? Any of you guys know that story? Paul Getty's son was one of his sons was kidnapped, and ransom was demanded. And Paul Getty says, to you, I'm not paying that kind of money to the criminal. So they sent him his ear. And when Paul Getty looked at his son's ear, he realized, maybe next time it will be something different. So he paid the ransom, which is nothing more than a little drop in the bucket. I'm not saying they negotiate with the criminals. It's just the fact that he rather hold on to the money than more than his son's life. So his son came back after all, but his sister, son's sister, the daughter of Paul Getty, became very bitter. And she was interviewed by the Time Life magazine, and she said that the best thing that ever happened to me is I got AIDS. Because when I realized there's nothing between me and God, and no money will hold me back. We tend to think that, well, let me have some money. Let me win the lottery. Lottery does not help a whole lot of people. So far, it might help a few people, but there is a side effect that brings. If you notice that when somebody wins the lottery, all of a sudden they find many relatives and many friends coming out from the woodwork, trying to connect themselves with that particular winner so they can get some crumbs. And money becomes the biggest issue. And if you noticed, full gospel talks about money more than any other subject, more than hell and heaven put together, more than salvation itself. Money can be great, but money can be awful. Egyptian, I forgot his name, Tutankhamun. That guy, pyramid is nothing, as you guys know, nothing more than tomb. How about Taj Mahal? You guys remember that famous architecture building, Taj Mahal? Do you know what that is? It's a tomb. I thought it was a palace until I started to do some research, and I realized it was a tomb. All right. Some people think that there's an afterlife, so they try to hog as much as they can and put all the gold and silver for their expenditure for next year, next life. And some people, they even take the live concubine, wives, and servants to the next life. They forgot the Hebrews 9:27. We all die once and stand at the judgment of God. So we think that money will make a difference. However, money does not. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew 16, first book of the New Testament. Matthew 16, six. Minus one. Matthew 6. 16, 6, just a little different. 6:19 and 20. Do not lay up yourselves your treasure on earth, where moth and the rust destroy, and where the thieves break in and steal. They lay up for yourself a treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor the rust destroy, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. And on another verse, that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians is right after the Ephesians, right before Colossians in New Testament. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, Philippians 4, 11 and 12. Whatever state I am, to be content. Underline to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and both to suffer needs. Apostle Paul speaking to us, he was in both sides of the spectrum, but yet he depends on God, not his own capability. This word, being content, is very much against modern-day financial concept. Nowadays, the more, the better. So we talk about CD, we talked about investment, we talked about this, we talked about stock market, which is nothing more than schizophrenic animal, goes up and down by the facial expression of the Greenspan. So it's not trustworthy. But God is the one who is holding the future. If we depend on Him, we can learn to be content. One more verse. First Timothy chapter 6. We'll start at verse 6. 1 Timothy is right before 2 Timothy, of course. It's a profound fact, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. This is something I'm going to ask you to put it in your heart, engrave in your heart. I don't care what you have to do. Pound it, make it yours. Now, godliness with the contentment is great gain. Godliness with the contentment is a great gain. Godliness with more money is a great gain? No, that sounds like a name and claim it, grab it, face movement concept, but godliness with the contentment. What does it mean, contentment? Being satisfied with what we have, whether we are in a lot or less. Because if we're looking for the more, we are saying that God, what I have is not good enough. We are complaining against God. If we look for, I haven't seen a whole lot of people who wants to be poor, so I guess the other way is a kind of oxymoron. See, godliness, contentment is a wonderful thing. That when we have a contentment, we have a peace in our heart. You watch. I guarantee you, if you stand in front of, say, more than a couple people, even a couple people, if you tell them, I have absolute peace in my heart, whether it's life or death, or any financial situation, whatever in situation, I'm content, I'm in peace. They will look at you like, how did you get that peace? Do you think I'm joking? No, I'm not. Look at the Elvis Presley. Why did he die? He was looking for peace. He said, I will give you $1 million for 1 hour of peace. I mean, that guy was a king of the entertainment industry. Ben Affleck, somebody said he was the sexiest man alive. Why did he become an alcoholic? Why did he have to turn himself into a rehabilitation center? Why these all these fancy actors and actresses who has a beautiful body and a beautiful banking account, a checking account, they couldn't satisfy with what they have. They always look for more. And it is, do you know what's the average amount